WMCH HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
New horizons.
No boundaries.
Welcome to Hot Leads and Cold Cases with Nancy DuTetra.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows.
Call Nancy DuTetra now.
248-545-SOUL.
And welcome in, everyone. New Sky Radio and the Para X Network. It is Hot Leads Cold Cases with your host, Nancy DuTerrett. Now, each week here on the show, we bring you a new and fascinating guest. This week, of course, will be no exception, and we will let Nancy talk all about that in just a moment. If you got a question or a comment for the show tonight, go ahead and give us a call. We've got open lines right now. We've got 248-545-7685, 248-545-SOUL. Now, we've got a couple of online options for you as well, just in case you can't get to the phone, you're shy, you're at work, whatever the case may be. Instant feedback right at the homepage of newskyradio.com. Can't miss it. Type out your question or comment for us. We'll address it live on air, just as if it were a phone call. And everyone over in the Para X chat room, that's another great way to send a question or a comment through throughout the show. Remember, you can find Nancy away from the show. And that's at theskepticalpsychic.com. So we'll find out what's in store for us tonight. Send it over to your host, Nancy DuTerrett.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brandon. And I have to ask you a really weird question.
Sure.
If you were a whale.
Okay.
You're living in the ocean.
Yes.
You're doing your thing, you know, that whales do.
Mm-hmm.
You find some human beings. Maybe they come along in a boat.
Right.
What do you think about those humans?
Are
you going to go towards them? Are you going to, like, go swimming away? What are you going to do?
You know, I guess maybe I'm at a point where I've seen them enough times to where I don't really bother with them because I'm so giant and they're no threat to me.
Okay.
So, you know, I might just get close enough to see what's going on and maybe just swim off.
All right. Well, you know, what's making me think about this is that today in the news, apparently the Coast Guard off the coast of New Jersey, they rescued this. It was a baby whale. It got trapped in some fishermen's ropes.
Oh, no.
And it was sort of being pulled down and it couldn't move. And anyway, they did sort of a dangerous type of an operation. They managed to free this whale and it got away, you know, and it was slightly injured, but it was okay. So if you were that whale, you'd think, wow, these humans are really pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
If you were a whale who got harpooned and the humans decided to use your blubber to make, candles or whatever, you'd think, nah, these humans
are... If I'm the subject of whale wars, then I'm not a happy whale.
Exactly. So that leads me, by way of a very strange intro, to my guest tonight. Okay? Because I was thinking about whales and I was thinking about, you know, how do we react to other species? My guest tonight is James Carman, and he's just produced and directed an amazing film. Some of you UFO people out there, you may have already heard about this movie. It's called The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact, and the Government Cover-Up. And if you want to just see a link to the movie, go ahead and go to my website, go to the radio page on theskepticalpsychic.com, and you'll be able to access it that way. And I actually put up an image of the poster for the movie, which is kind of creepy. It's very memorable. It's a picture of what looks like a very high-ranking military officer, a general, who is sort of split. He's standing in front of the White House. He's saluting, and he's split down the middle. He's half human and half alien. Now, this documentary has received very high praise from a lot of people in the UFO research field. It's been called, quote, one of the best documentaries about the complex puzzle of the UFO phenomenon. The film has already won 4 awards, including the Philip K. Dick Film Festival Award for Best Documentary and the International UFO Conference EDE Award for the Best Film. James has worked as a director and a cinematographer since 1989. He's also currently director of photography and producer in New York City. He's shot many commercials for companies such as Guess, A&E, WebMD, Target, Lucent, MTV, Reuters, and Parenting Magazine, just to name a few. The feature narrative films he's shot have been shown in festivals and theaters around the world, including places like Cannes, Toronto, Sundance, Berlin, and even the Museum of Modern Art in New York. So, very happy to have you on the show, James. Welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, Nancy.
Yeah, so let me start you out before we get into talking about your movie or your documentary. I want to talk to you. You say you've spent at least 30 years of your life researching UFOs, ETs, and various different aspects of paranormal consciousness. And of course, I'm interested to know, you know, how somebody gets into this, because it usually takes a very personal pathway to get you this deep into this subject matter. Did you ever have a personal experience?
Well, I had personal experiences in terms of being a sensitive. And I think if I understood you correctly, you are one also.
Yes.
And so if you're sensitive, then you kind of realize that the lockdown 3D version of the world isn't actually correct. And you see things seeping and interacting with that all the time. And so I never had the feeling like, okay, this is what it is. And I was never really a materialist. And so I really didn't grow up with E.T. in being aware of it that much. I was interested in other phenomena and in other types of spirituality. But I had spent many years in Europe, and when I came back to the United States, then it became very much a topic very quickly. So then I kind of, you know, set all my horses on that and started researching that aspect, which is very vast and very deep, and it's, you know, just as complex as anything else could be.
It is exceptionally complex, and I didn't realize until I was, you know, fairly far into going into the paranormal and going into different types of, you know, consciousness issues and psychic stuff, I thought it was 100% completely separate and apart from all this UFO ET stuff. And what I've realized is, no, they're actually completely joined at the hip.
Yes, totally. And, you know, it could, because even though you have UFOs that are 3D, they can actually disappear right before your eyes. And even if you have, you know, you have ETs that can be here in the physical corporeal, or they can be just projected, a percentage of their essence can be projected into this this earthly plane, or you know humans can be taken to their realms, which aren't in this universe. I mean, like you they're in this universe, but it's actually a different dimension. And so I think that's kind of amazing, but it's very related to the spirit world, and it has a lot to do with vernacular. And if you look at how people talked about angels and demons in biblical times, and then if you go back to the age of Islam, where they would talk about jinns, and then you talked about the Middle Ages, and you would have interactions with the wee folks or fairies or elves, and not to go into the fairy circle, or otherwise you would disappear. And if you did disappear, you did go to the fairy realms. They say, don't eat anything, otherwise you can never come back. And the first thing they do is offer you something to eat if you get taken to the fairy realms. And so, you know, this has been going on forever. Even in terms of shamanism, it's very common to have a spirit lover, a spirit mate in the other world, and have spirit children from that. And also, a lot of times, very gruesome things happen. You get operated on. It can be very painful, but it happens in a different state of being, a different state of mind, and a different reality.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I hate to sort of jump the gun here, but that sort of raises a whole bunch of other questions. Let me just slow down a little bit.
Okay.
I want to raise something that I thought was, it struck me, was one of your fellow filmmakers, Steven Spielberg. You didn't actually interview him in the documentary, but you did quote him, and I found it really quite shocking. And obviously, I mean, he was director of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and he apparently said that when NASA decided to write him a 25-page letter opposing the release of the movie, he realized there had to be something massively real to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was in an interview he did with a kind of cineast magazine. It was kind of like an older version of Film Comment from the 70s. I can't remember what the magazine was called. And, you know, he was quite young at the time and probably was more vocal than he would be now. Because, I mean, you hardly ever hear about him saying one thing or the other. But I talked, you know, to his representative, and I sent him a copy of the film, and I said, you know, please pass it on.
Oh, interesting. Have you heard back?
No.
Okay.
I said, you know, come on, I want to have an interview. And he goes, it's not possible. And I said, sure, it's just a half an hour. I can travel. It's no big deal. And he says, he's so busy that there's no way he's going to do an interview with you. And, you know, I only pestered him twice, and then I figured, okay, I'll let sleeping dogs lie for now.
Well, he is a busy guy. I mean, I do grant him that. He apparently also, he did an interview not that long ago, 2011, and he was referring to a screening that he gave for President Reagan in the White House in 1982. And Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor was there. Astronaut Neil Armstrong was there. And he apparently, the way he described it, he said Reagan turned to the audience, deadly serious, and said, there are a number of people in this room who know that everything on that screen is absolutely true. And Spielberg said everybody laughed, the whole room laughed, because he presented it like a joke, but he wasn't smiling when he said it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that really fascinating. So I want to talk to you some more about how you decided to approach this issue, which I think is interesting because you really went into the phenomenon of alien abductions and contact and what it all means. But we got to take a quick break, so everybody stay with us. You're listening to Hot Leads Cold Cases. My guest tonight is James Carman.
Are you on a journey of introspection, self-discovery, and balance? Matter and Home creates handcrafted home accessories that awake your intrinsic wisdom, guiding you towards your own peaceful and complete place. Until January 1st, we are offering 15% off all engraved medicinal candles. These are all soy wax candles, hand-poured into recycled engraved glass vessels, using essential oils, medicinal oils, and prayerful intentions. Matter and Home wants to support and encourage you to connect with all that you are. Go to MatterandHome.com and use coupon code BALANCE 15 for 15% off all engraved candles. Again, matterandhome.com, MatterandHome.com. May the objects you touch also touch you.
Doesn't mean much. We'll be right back.
Radio's The New Sky. The Sky.
We're back. This is Hot Leads and Cold Cases with Nancy Dutertra. Call Nancy Dutertra now.
248-545-7685.
We're back. Hot Leads, Cold Cases here at the Sky. New Horizons, No Boundaries. Very happy to be joined by our guest tonight, James Carman. And if you had a question or a comment for James and Nancy, 248-545-7685 is the number to call. One more time, that's 248-545-SOUL. You can also send instant feedback over at newskyradio.com, over at the ParaX chat room. That's another great way where you could go ahead and send through a quick question or a comment for the show. So we look forward to hearing from you tonight. And we'll get things back over to Nancy and James.
All right, thanks. You know, I was talking at the top of the show about the experience of being a whale encountering humans. And humans do good things, and they do bad things, and then they do neutral things. And I think one of the really interesting aspects of The Hidden Hand is that you really go into depth on that. And I think a lot of people who I know who have had encounters, let me put it that way, really appreciate you, that approach, because if you go, you know, all negative or all positive, I think you kind of lose a lot of people. So you really go into, and just for those who don't know, in terms of the terminology, abductees is generally for people who have had negative experiences with aliens. Contactees have generally had positive, and experiencers is sort of a neutral term. And I'm curious, because you did interview a number of, well, let's just call them experiencers. Do you think most people have had positive or negative experiences, or are they having both?
Well, there are quite a few that have both. In, you know, there's some that have, you know, positive and negative ET experiences, and then have also military experiences, which are mostly across the board negative. That in the military experiences mean like some rogue force from the military, black ops, would abduct you and, you know, debrief you in terms of what your interaction with ET has been. So, you know, some people have only positive and some only negative. And, in you know, it's not, I don't think you can always say that it's exactly the way the experiencer has perceived it, because when you imagine you're being taken often into another realm, or it can be onto a UFO, you're in a different state of mind. It's not like your everyday state of mind. You're in an actual different state of mind, so everything, you perceive everything differently. And it might be that it's so strange that you perceive it as being negative, or if the ET can't take you, like, it's not, they're not treating you like an equal, because maybe they don't consider you to be as an equal, the way we wouldn't consider, you know, if we're tranquilizing a deer because we want to put a collar on it for whatever reason, you know, we don't have a powwow with that deer before we tranquilize it and put the collar on it. We just do it. And so I think there is some of that going on. And so you can put it in a very kind of dark gray area if you want, or in terms from our perspective. But it could also, and I've seen this happen too, it's like people have been abducted all their life. At the end of their life, they usually try to make some kind of sense of it, and they put it in a positive light. And you could say, well, this is kind of a Stockholm syndrome, and they just, you know, are starting to identify with their captors or their abductors. Or you could say that, you know, they're actually becoming familiar with this very strange creature and this strange circumstance, and that familiarity, after a while, then their mind doesn't interpret it in totally negative. It's just strange, unknown.
Yeah, and I think that's a significant thing, because if you are encountering something like what these people describe, you know, things that look like giant insects or reptiles, or sort of, or they're suddenly in your bedroom and you're paralyzed, you can't move, and you're being floated through the air, and you can't speak, the whole experience becomes sort of, I would imagine, just a blur of terror. Did you get a chance to talk to people about whether their experiences of either it being positive or negative were directly related to different species of aliens?
Yes. I mean, you know, it seems most of them have contact more of a preponderance with one species than another. You know, a lot, just the grays, or a lot, just the reptilians, and a lot, just the Nordics. But you do have, you know, a mix, too, within all that. And I think whenever you start having contact with one, then, you know, that pretty much lasts for life.
So you think that, well, I mean, I've spoken with people who say, oh, yes, you know, they start out meeting with the grays, and some of the grays are sort of robotic, and some of them are more, natural or have psychic abilities. And then they meet people who seem to be taller or more in control, who are some other different type of species. Is that a common thing? Or you're saying people pretty much just have, like, you know, once you get abducted by a gray, you're pretty much stuck with the grays?
No, I'm not saying that it is common that you then interact with different species, but usually you have a preponderance of interaction more with one type. You don't mix around a lot because you're in a program. You can imagine, you know, you were probably, your parents, your grandparents, even your great-grandparents are part of this program. And so your genetics, your training, everything has been thought of and taken into account. And so that means it's significantly important for them. They have a lot of resources, a lot of ships, a lot of equipment, a lot of supplies, a lot of thought that goes into this. And they also wipe memories afterwards, put in screen memories. So they're very invested in the whole process. And so they're just, you know, I'm not saying you wouldn't meet other species, but they're invested in you being a part of the program for your life.
Yes, that's either a terrific thought or a terrifying thought. So I thought also something was quite interesting that was sort of brought up in The Hidden Hand. It was a comment that was made by remote viewer Lynn Buchanan. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, basically, I guess he was talking about aliens coming in all shapes and sizes. And I thought what was very interesting was he said, some are psychic and some are not. Mm-hmm. And I think for, you know, somebody who's not totally in the field, has no experience, at least no memorable experience of ever having been abducted, the idea, you sort of, what you hear is generally, well, they're so much more of an advanced species. Yeah, of course they're psychic. They have all these psychic abilities, but I guess that's not always the case.
Yeah, no, he said that, you know, there's four types, if you want to break it down that way, the ones that are psychic, ones that are not psychic, and the ones that are malevolent towards humanity, and the ones that are not. And he said the ones that are psychic and malevolent towards humanity, they want us dead. And the ones that are psychic and are here to help us and support us, they want us to expand spiritually. And the thing that we have that they're interested in is our psychic power works at a distance, works across the whole universe. And he said theirs, while it's very much stronger and more developed than ours, it doesn't have the capability of working at such a distance. So, that's fascinating.
And I think also another one of the people who you interviewed was Dr. Charles Hall. And he, I believe, has said that, I don't know if he said it in The Hidden Hand, but I know he's said that, I guess, the tall whites, that they're not particularly psychic. In fact, they're not psychic at all if they're not equipped with, they've got some type of special, I don't know if it's electronic equipment, something that is able to transfer thoughts. So there's technology involved for some of them.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's correct. There's, we're already that way now, where we've developed artificial telepathy and machines can read our minds and can tell if we're lying or not. So I think it's not that complicated.
So do you think that we basically have that technology? Do you think that's been given to us as an alien technology?
I think we have it. I don't know exactly where it came from, but obviously, you know, maybe that's where we became interested in obtaining it and developing it. I think a lot of it has to do, too, with if you have people in your armed forces that are very, very psychic, then you start to become worried about them because they can read your mind and know what your setup is in your secret societies. And so then you might start thinking, well, maybe we shouldn't let our psychics have so much access, so we'll let our computers do that and develop it that way, and then no one's going to be able to kind of just eavesdrop in on us.
Yeah, well, I've been told that's why they shut down the remote viewing program, because the remote viewers were getting just a little bit too skilled at knowing what was being done.
Well, that's what Ingo Swann told me. He said that he even overheard them saying that. I think that could be correct. But on the other hand, is you have to kind of really know how things. You have to know where to look, and I think in terms of how everything is on a need to know basis. Unless you have a lot of those pieces together, you're not going to know exactly where to look all the time.
Well, and Ingo's thing was, you know, feedback, feedback, feedback. You got to have feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have some form of confirmation. So if you're not, within whatever that loop is, even if you've got the psychic ability to, or the clairvoyance and the ability to see something, it really doesn't mean all that much unless you get an incredible number of specifics and you can identify where and when it's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. I want to talk to you also about... There seems to be a movement away from investigating the events that happen to experiencers. There's sort of a split in the UFO field. But I do want to talk to you about that. We got to take a quick break. So stay with us, everybody. You're listening to Hot Leads Cold Cases. My guest tonight is James Carman.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Doesn't mean much.
MPS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Back to hot leads and cold cases with Nancy Duterte.
You're hot and you're cold. Yes, and you're no. You're in and you're out. You're up and you're down.
Call Nancy Duterte now.
248-545-SOUL.
And we're back with more Hot Leads Cold Cases here at the Sky and the Para-X Network. Just a reminder, make sure you find our host Nancy away from the show. You can find her over at theskepticalpsychic.com. Now, we're joined tonight by our special guest, James Carman, and getting into some interesting conversation. So if you wanted to call in, question or a comment, 248-545-7685. Again, 248-545-SOUL. A few online options as well here at New Sky Radio. Go to newskyradio.com, find the instant feedback right there on the homepage. And then everyone over at the Para-X Network, if you're on the chat room, it's another great way to send through some feedback on tonight's show. So with that said, we'll get it back to Nancy and James.
All right. Absolutely. We have we got James back?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Oh, okay, good. Good, good. So what I wanted to ask you about was apparently there is a movement, and I don't know whether it's just, you know, pretty much within the MUFON community or whether it's larger than that, where they really have decided that they want to stay away from all of these very complex issues involving investigations of alien, you know, human and alien contact. And they're sticking more to issues involving actual UFO spacecraft sightings. Have you run into that? Was that something that you looked at all or tried to figure out what's going on there?
Well, I mean, I think it's just a matter of preference. I mean, I think it's all good just as long as people are doing what they want and they're contributing. And, you know, that's why the field is blossoming and it has so many different aspects to it. You know, I don't think that anyone has to cover one thing or not. I mean, there's some people that say it's ridiculous that there could be negative ETs, and there's others that say, well, you're naive if you think that. But, you know, everyone's entitled to have their opinion, and, you know, I'm fine with that. I mean, for me, you know, I think it's so well established that there are UFOs, and it's been tracked on every sensor system that we have, and, you know, we have so many photos and videos, and it's like, of course, it's still interesting, but the other experiencer stuff is a lot more interesting because it's a lot more visceral, and it's a lot more coming down to what's really important with the way we view reality and how we view ourselves as a species.
Yeah. I also think that to make a distinction between, you know, sightings of spacecraft and then contact experience with aliens, I almost wonder if it's like an impossible distinction to make, because so many times, I guess people discover a lot of times in retrospect or through hypnosis or that kind of thing, that at the time when they actually saw a craft, and then there was maybe some missing time or whatever, that there was some type of, sometimes an abduction scenario, some type of a contact scenario that went on with it. So I don't know that you can necessarily even separate the two.
Someone just visited me today, and he showed me his UFO footage, which was great. And I said, well, have you seen my film? And he was like, oh, I'm not so interested, you know, and it's just like, because that's what all he does. And there's hundreds of people who only shoot UFOs, and that's what they're mostly interested in, and it's pretty interesting. I think it's pretty amazing that that kind of glues them together. But if that's what that turns them on, that's fine. But obviously, it's a lot deeper than that.
I think those kind of people are sort of like techie type people who, you know, show me you know, the stuff, you know, show me the actual photo, show me the evidence, show me the mechanics, show me the whatever. And so this, when you start getting into these contact scenarios, which get, as you said, they start involving different levels of consciousness, such as dream states or screen memories or amnesia or, you know, bits and pieces of memories that aren't glued together the normal way.
Mm-hmm.
I think you start getting into an area that's much more complex, and that may actually hold the key to what these craft are and what they're doing. Another thing I always thought was kind of unusual, the more I get into this, the more I realize it's almost as if you look at the categories of all the different types of spacecraft, UFOs, the shapes and sizes, colors, lights, all that stuff, it's almost unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And that always bothered me, because I started wondering, is that some type of a weird, is that like a joke? Is that a hallucination? Is that something, because when, I mean, if we have, you know, airplanes, an airplane is an airplane is an airplane, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're coming in so many different sizes and shapes, it almost seems like it corresponds increasingly with what we know about the different sizes, shapes of different species.
I think that it's all predicated on consciousness somehow. If you look into ufology in the 1800s, there were these airships that people saw everywhere. And usually the occupants of the airships were humans. And people, they would sit down and they would be tinkering on them or fixing them, and people could have conversations with them. And it seems like, you know, of course, that was probably an overlay of some kind. It was like what people could imagine at that point in time, or maybe that was on the edge or the fringe of what they could imagine. And maybe it's just our consciousness is opening up, and it's kind of allowing more possibility in terms of interpretation.
Yes, I agree with you. So this whole idea of, well, let's just focus on getting the evidence of the spacecraft may be a mistake, because we may be seeing what our consciousness permits us to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, but, you know, the deeper we dig down into that, then, of course, you know, a lot of stuff starts falling away in terms of, like, you know, the solidity of this reality, and also the solidity of what we've been told in terms of history, the solidity of what we've been told in terms of our nation and the virtues of our nation and what our nation is accomplishing in the world. There's a lot of things that then start to become a little bit murkier.
Yeah.
And not everyone wants to deal with that. Then you kind of start slipping into cognitive dissonance, because it's just like, oh, this is too weird.
Oh, you mean like complete and total madness?
Yes. Yes, thank you for that.
All right. Yes, I'm aware of that. When things, and, you know, that's people, mostly people like things that are black and white. They like mm-hmm. things that are orderly, that make sense, mm-hmm. where you can distinguish them, and they don't have to think too much.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a field which requires it. When I have worked in, you know, trying to research some of this stuff, My brain has literally hurt from trying to think so hard, because it forces you to think beyond all the boundaries of what you know, your normal space.
Yes. I mean, like, I had a screening in Los Angeles, and it was at a film studio, and they let us, you know, set up chairs and have a great screening in the film studio. And then we had this amazing Q&A afterwards. I had Dr. Roger Lear. I had Yvonne Smith, I had Stephen Bassett, I had myself, and I had Julian Michaels there. And the people who came up and asked questions, they were so brilliant. And, like, I didn't even understand all of them. It was like, whoa, these people are smart. And it was a real joy for me, because it was, like, so deep and went on for hours.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, since you brought up Dr. Roger Lear, and I know that you interviewed him in The Hidden Hand, and he is sort of known as the go-to surgeon if you have any type of what appears to be an alien implant, which sort of goes back to the issue of, I mean, did you get a sense of, from interviewing these people, are those human implants? Are they part of a military program? Are we being tagged like deer? I think that was what one of your guests said. Do you have a sense of that?
Well, I mean, for me, I would say probably all of the above, but it's just some of the implants, they, even though they are from isotopes that aren't from here, and they've got, they don't have magnetism, even though they're made of iron, and actually biological tissue can grow into it, it still seems a little coarse to me in terms of the technology. I mean, I think, you know, ET could be much, much more advanced in terms of their technology and their implants, and if you're a psychic, you see that. You see that the implants are actually in the etheric fields. And so I'm not sure if they really need the nuts and bolts implants as much, but I'm not an expert, of course. I mean, what do you think?
What do I think? I think that I have heard stories about human implants being manufactured in the millions at the highest level of secrecy, where somehow people who managed to get through whatever the security clearance was mysteriously ended up sort of absconding with all of the manufactured implants, and they just poof, were gone, and nobody could understand who these quote-unquote people were. So, to me, the whole field is absolutely riddled with, I mean, you could, it's almost like you take your pick, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another.
Right. Yeah, and you can't ever say for sure, 100%, definitely not. I mean, and then, you know, then we're here postulating, you know, every night. And that's why I would really welcome it to be more of a salon topic, to where scientists would be allowed to study this officially without losing their grant money and without being ridiculed.
Yes, and that is something else I want to ask you about, since you have psychically gotten to my next question. But we got to take another break, so we will be right back. Everybody stay with us. You're listening to Hot Leads Cold Cases. My guest tonight is James Carman.
Coming up today on New Sky Radio at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, it's the Intuitive Coach Super Duo of Colette Baron-Reed and Doug Upchurch. Doug and Colette will bring their expertise to you through live on-air coaching, so we can each become our most effective, fabulous, and empowered self. At 2 p.m. Eastern, it's the Alyssa Jo Radio Show. Alyssa Jo, with her trademark Southern no-holds-barred style, is an upbeat intuitive who answers your questions and enlivens your Friday. Coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern, we're Living Through Spirit with Tisa Michaels. At 4 p.m. Eastern, join the entrepreneur's astrologer, Sue Hines, for the Bright Star Cafe. Discover how astrology can improve and light up your life with a new perspective. Coming up at 6 p.m., it's Now Age Zen with Laura and Dee. At 7 p.m. Eastern, call in and tune in early for numerologist Glynis McCants. Follow the hot leads and solve cold cases at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tales of ghosts and spirited history at 9 p.m. Eastern. Tonight on New Sky Radio. For more on these shows and all new Sky Radio shows, check out newskyradio.com/show. New Sky Radio and radio.com, powered by CBS Radio.
Are you on a journey of introspection, self-discovery, and balance? Matter & Home creates handcrafted home accessories that awake your intrinsic wisdom, guiding you towards your own peaceful and complete place. Until January 1st, we are offering 15% off all engraved medicinal candles. These are all soy wax candles, hand-poured into recycled engraved glass vessels, using essential oils, medicinal oils, and prayerful intentions. Matter & Home wants to support and encourage you to connect with all that you are. Go to matterandhome.com and use coupon code BALANCE 15 for 15% off all engraved candles. Again, matterandhome.com, matterandhome.com. May the objects you touch also touch you.
New Sky Radio.
NewSkyRadio.com, and Psychic Radio, PsychicOnAir.com. Powered by CBS Radio, AOL, and Yahoo is unlike any talk radio station. With a mission to improve the world, one listener at a time. This is where you can be the star of your own show. Our listeners are truly unique, truly interactive, and passionate about their world. The Sky and Psychic Radio listeners genuinely care about the environment, social justice, their personal health, and raising people up to live their best life every day. Our motto is New Horizons, No Boundaries. New Age views, life coaching, psychic analysis, alternative medicine, and cutting-edge mind, body, and spirit shows can all be found on The Sky and Psychic Radio. Perhaps you have what it takes to join our broadcast family. An open mind, a great idea, and a passion for enriching lives. Check out all the exciting details by clicking the microphone on our homepage at newskyradio.com or give Lisa Rodman a call at 248-546-9600 to learn just how affordable it can be to host a show.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. The Sky.
We're back. This is Hot Leads and Cold Cases with Nancy Dutertra. Call Nancy Dutertra now.
248-545-7685. Believe.
Welcome back. It is our final segment. One more time, I want to thank our guest, James Carman, for stopping by tonight. And thank everyone for joining us. Now, remember, you can find Nancy away from the show. Make sure you head over to theskepticalpsychic.com. So we only have a few more minutes to go with the show. A few more things we want to address. We'll get things right back over to Nancy and James.
All right. Thanks, Brandon. So the title of your documentary is The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact, and the Government Cover-Up. Mm-hmm. So clearly, that's part of your position, which is that there has been a government cover-up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of the people who you interview in your film, who I also have had the pleasure of interviewing, is Colonel John Alexander. Mm-hmm. And he says, straight out, he thinks disclosure is not a good path. Mm-hmm. And he suggests, in the alternative, that exactly what you were just saying, that we should make it easier for scientists to explore the UFO field without fear of ridicule. Mm-hmm. So does that make sense to you? Because to me, it makes me wonder, can you really eliminate ridicule in this field if the government continues to refuse to acknowledge whether the UFO phenomenon is real or not?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that's what they've been doing, is they've had people studying it and figuring it out in behind the scenes, but it doesn't help us unless it is made public. And, you know, of course, if you reverse engineering all this technology and you've developed a quasi-breakaway civilization that can do what it wants at will, that it doesn't bode well for a democracy or a republic. And, I mean, those are our core values as a country, and I think we should adhere to that.
And he said, you know, also flat out that we're not hiding anything. Government's got, you know, nothing to disclose. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know anyone who really buys that. Do you buy that?
Well, the thing is, it's like, you know, I think you have to make a distinction between military and, like, secret military or secret government. In, you know, he's been in the military all of his life. He's got two PhDs. He's a very astute man. He's, you know, if you talk to him, he knows a lot about a lot of things. And, you know, it can be that he didn't have that access. That wasn't his career path. And so for him, that's his truth. And, you know, I'm not going to say that's incorrect. So that's, he's showing things the way he believes them to be.
I mean, is there any way that you think that we will ever get past the ridicule factor in this field?
I think so. I mean, I think inevitably it's going to happen because the whole idea of the singularity, when artificial intelligence becomes at the level of humanity. And then, you know, if they don't have to sleep, raise children, worry about eating, then, of course, it'll surpass humanity. And so if we're connected with each other by technology, by manipulating our genetics to where we are developing a hive mind, which looks like where we're going, then I think it's going to be inevitable that it comes out. And it'll just be at that point, the whole world will be so different, maybe it doesn't matter anymore.
Will John Alexander be the queen bee?
I don't know if he'll still be around then, but, you know, he's a good guy. So I wouldn't give him a hard time.
I have never given him a hard time. I know plenty of people who do, because he takes a very, very hard-line position on this issue. And I think people just assume because, you know, he's I guess, worked with the Los Alamos National Laboratory, National Security Council, CIA, U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command. And as he says, every alphabet agency you can think of, plus ones you can't think of because you don't know about them. Mm-hmm. So I think he sort of enjoys that angle of, you know, well, I have access, but you don't. So I'm mm-hmm. I'm going to deliver the information on your need to know basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people.
Well, you know that you know I can't speak for him, but you know I think he is. It is rich to have him in the whole conversation, because you know he has a different interpretation. He says, "Well, that's not what happened at Roswell. That's not what Area 51 was about," and so. You know, I think it's more interesting if people say, well, it's this way, and some people say, no, it's that way, and it adds spice to the soup.
You know what? I 100% agree with you, and you're the only person I've ever heard say that, and I happen to agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think it's very true. So let me ask you, you have these really great sort of subtopics in the movie, mm-hmm. and you end up at the very end of The Hidden Hand, and you say you have a subtopic of galactic consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And apparently, and many people have suggested, based on their contact with aliens or alien species, you know, there are different approaches to this. Either we're nothing sort of but a human experiment in somebody else's petri dish,
mm-hmm.
And they're just tinkering out with our DNA. And if that's what they're doing, then of course people are suggesting, well, in an evil sense, maybe they're looking to replace the human race, mm-hmm. or in the benevolent sense, maybe they are looking to improve us, to kind of lift us up somewhere, maybe near their level.
Mm-hmm.
From speaking with all of the different people that you interviewed in your documentary, did you get any sense overall of where you think that we're heading as a human race, or where's planet Earth headed?
Well, I think we're in for some very tough times, but I think, you know, we're going to come through that. And, you know, this is, oh, it's like a pressure cooker we're in right now. And, you know, even the abductions, that kind of pressure, it forces people to be more open, more intuitive, more aware of different aspects of reality, even though they might not be totally pleasant. And, I think that the whole idea of interacting with ET, it's something that is expansive, and you know it will expand our vision of reality, and also we were not going to be so Earth-centric anymore. We're going to expand out. I think a lot of what the positive ETs are waiting for is for us to change to where we don't become so warlike that we start exporting all of our wars across the galaxy, which I think is something they really do not want.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And on that note, we actually are pretty much out of time. So quickly, if people want to be able to contact you, find out more about The Hidden Hand, how would they do that?
Go to my website. It's hiddenhandthemovie.com. That's hiddenhandthemovie.com. And there's information. There's links to buy it, all different kinds of places. You can join me on Facebook, which is facebook.com, Hidden Hand the Movie. And on Twitter, it's James Carman. Well, actually, Twitter, it's just hashtag The Hidden Hand. So I'd love to talk to you all. I'd love to keep the conversation going.
And I highly recommend the documentary. It's fascinating. You've interviewed a lot of the top people in the field and people who have been out there and have had their own true experiences. And it's a very elegant compilation of these experiences. So thank you so much. Thanks for coming
on
the show.
Thank you, Nancy.
All right. Good night, everybody. See you next week.